Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness in so many areas, Lord. We thank you for saving us, for your grace and your mercy. And our hearts long for all to be saved, Lord, and that is your heart. And this morning, help us to pray as you would lead us by your Spirit. And as we look at another psalm and reflect on that a bit, guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to look at Psalm 50 as we're working our way through the psalms. And these are always just so blessed. There's quite a variety in them. We have a significant psalm today, I guess. They're all significant. But this is talking about God judging his people. This is not God judging the wicked. This is God judging the holy ones, God judging the religious ones, God's judging the ones that think they're his. So it's for us as well, and it shows us his heart and what is really important to him. So I want to focus first on the first six verses. The mighty one, God the Lord, El Elohim Yehovah. The mighty one, God the Lord. What an introduction, right? Has spoken and called the earth. Wow. From the rising of its sun to its going down. He's really says this is important. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Talk to his people, of course, as it says. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. So that's the first six verses. And if you'll take your notes now, and if you look right after the very top, you'll see Psalm 50, verses 1 through 6. So this is a song I found of Psalm 50, and we kind of hear it or sing it or say it. It is not exactly that New King James, but it's pretty close. So let's just sing this song in honor of him and in accordance with the psalm. Just notice the words, if you would.
The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons all the earth from the rising of the sun. Where it sets from Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. God shines forth. God shines forth. God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages, and around him stretches, and around him a tempest rages. Mm-hmm. heavens above and all the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me, my consecrated ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness.
Psalm 50, first six verses. Well, reading it again, now that we've read it and sung it, let's read it again. God the righteous judge. Kind of reminded, it's God who's the judge, isn't it? And who is that? It's the mighty one, El Elohim Yehovah. That's three powerful words, names right in one there. The mighty one, God the Lord, amazing. Has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. So if he's calling the earth, it's pretty important, and it's all day long. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, he is. God will shine forth. Our God shall come and not keep silent. Oftentimes we mistake his patience for approval. We may drift from him a little bit and get into sin and waiting for the hammer to drop, and it doesn't drop. And so, well, maybe that's not so bad. And then after a while, we start to think, well, maybe it's okay with him. But he will not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. Now, that's not for our salvation. Obviously, that's done. That's paid. It was not quite the same when the psalm was written 3,000 years ago. But Jesus has come and has paid the price, so we don't have to be concerned about salvation if we're truly believers. Verse 4, he shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. His people. We are his people. And again, this will be 2 Corinthians 5:10, the reward seat really is where our judging comes in. But he's also giving a message here of what is acceptable to him, what is preferable to him, what he wants, and really what he doesn't want so much. So he says, gather my saints together, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. And so we just sang that. Going on, he says, hear my people and I will speak. So this is preparatory still. Listen up. O Israel, he's speaking to Israel, and we can be Israel in that regard. And I will testify against you. Ooh, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I won't rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which you continually give me. But now he goes on to say, really, I don't need them. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. So it seems like they're settling in too much to a mindless ritual. They do their sacrifices. They bring the animals before him. But I think he's saying, like he said to the church of Ephesus in the 7 letters to the churches in the Revelation, you're doing really great things. I mean, you got a list of applicants for any future openings in the staff that reaches down to the floor. Everybody wants to be a part of your church. Oh, you're doing everything right. You're right on schedule, making all the sacrifices and all this. But then what did the Lord say? He says, nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. Where's your love? All this ritual. And it seems to me he's saying, I want a relationship with you. I want a relationship with you. I don't want your deeds if they're not from love. I want you. I read a story that Dr. Ironsides told that kind of drives this point home a little bit. There was this a man and his wife. They had one daughter, and the wife died. And so the father and daughter got very, very, very close. And the father was just living. He was very busy during the day, but he'd come home at night, and he just lived for the evenings to spend some time with his daughter. And so they were into this routine, and it was just so blessing, as much blessing to him. And then one night, about the time they got ready, she said, Dad, I've got something else I want to do. Would you excuse me? And she went to her room. And so next night, same thing. Next night, same thing. So she started doing this, and he wanted to ask her what she was doing in her room, but he didn't, and he just thought he would wait to see what happens. And about, I don't know how many nights it was, but finally then she came one night, and she says, Merry Christmas, Dad. I made these for you. And she handed him these beautifully crocheted slippers, which were glorious. And he looked at him. He says, oh, I appreciate this so much. He said, but I liked your companionship so much more. Nothing can take that place. And I think that's what God is telling us. He wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want our rituals. And so as he goes on here, he says, of course, with the sacrifices and all, if I were hungry, I would not have told you. For the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Now we come to the key here. We got 3 things he's going to tell us in this psalm. Number one, offer to God thanksgiving. How thankful are you? And pay your vows to the Most High. And then secondly, pray. Call upon me. Call upon me. Call upon me. Kara. Call upon me in the day of trouble. All about relationship, it seems. And I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? He's now talking about hypocrisy, I believe. Seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you, when you saw a thief, you consented with him. You've been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongues frame deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. We read, of course, in Romans where if we approve of these things that are done, we are really joining in on it. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, maybe you would say, well, I've never stole anything. Yeah, but did you consent to somebody that you knew were thieving in a way? Or were you a partaker with adulterers? Did you like to hear or watch things about adultery? And if you turn on any screen or go to any movie, I guarantee you'll see that part of it. Isn't it in everyone, it seems like? And you say, oh, I like to watch this spicy story or whatever. Well, I'm not so sure that the Lord thinks that's such a good idea here. He says, you're a partaker in that. And I kept silent, and so you thought, well, it's probably okay to do that. I'm not actually doing it. I'm actually not stealing anything from anybody, even though I kind of consent to it being done. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. He's going to make all things right. We know that. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces. So this is, he's God. Well, he won't do anything to me because, you know, I'm making my sacrifices. Lest I tear you to pieces and there be none to deliver. Wow. Now the last thing, praise. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. So again, this term here is not the saving salvation we're talking about, because we already have that by belief, at least at this, after Christ has come, which we're in now. But we really kind of see three things there generally to me. We're to be thankful, we're to pray, we're to call upon him, and we're to praise him, offer praise to him. Father, we thank you for the exhortation in your word, and we thank you for the self-searching of ourselves as we are reading it and as we contemplate it. Thank you for this opportunity to call upon you. Thank you for each one so faithfully coming to pray. And so, Lord, as we pray, may we all be in exactly one accord because we're being led by one Spirit. So may we pray as you lead us in Jesus' name. Well, we come kind of to the end of the hour and a meaningful time. Just sharing one little scripture with you, which you know well, but it's triumph in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge into every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Verse 5 in chapter 3, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient, as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So we're each ministers, and may we stand for him. And I wanted to just sing one verse here of all creatures of our God and King, because the last exhortation here in this little psalm is to praise him, praise him. We have a lot of praise songs. We went through those praise psalms and we're praising and praising. But just verse 1, all creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and sing with us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So let's just sing this together if we might. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. We have much to be thankful for. And we do want to cry out to you continually, continuing to thank you for prayers that have been answered and prayers that are being answered and prayers that will be answered. And may we stand for you, Lord. We don't have much time left. I think the rapture of the church is right around the corner. And as Max has already said, whether the rapture is here or later, we're going to all be home with you soon. We have limited number of days, and one day will be the last day, maybe today. And so, Lord, our hearts are so overwhelmed with joy when we think of what you've done for us, but they're so kind of overwhelmed with sadness when we think of those that have not yet received you. They are not enjoying what you have given us. They don't even have an understanding of what you've given us, but help them to see that in us. In Jesus' name, amen.